All right, as you see, Ezekiel chapter 11 this morning. I think I have verse 18 there starting, but I'm going to start at verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17 through 21. God speaking to Ezekiel, "Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries from where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all the detestable things and all the abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, that they may should be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desires for their detestable things, and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God." May the Lord add to blessing and reading His word this morning. Let's bow our hearts for a moment of prayer. Father God, give me strength, give me your words, fill me with your spirit. Oh Lord, I pray that we all open our ears and eyes to hear and see what you have us to see this and hear this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I know I've shared kind of a few times how I come about selecting my message. And of course, as we're reading through our weekly reading through the Bible, weekly reading, obviously are taking from those scriptures. And I kind of select two ways of what verses or verses that I will preach upon. One is really what I'm impressed upon. In other words, I read something and some text and I just get the impression I need to preach that. You know, that needs to be preached. And then sometimes I read through scripture text and verses and it convicts me. It speaks to me. And, you know, I found through my years of preaching that if something convicts me, often it will also convict others or affect others, or others will need to hear that same message, if you would. So this week is one of those weeks that, you know, I start off praying out, okay, as I read through our chapters this week, Lord, let me see what you want me to preach, you know. And so I read through and got to chapter 11 and saw our verses here that I was impressed that these are verses I need to preach. You know, this is what I need to preach. And so as I was going through the week, then I got to another verse or verses that really convicted me. And so I was kind of, all right, Lord, do you want me to preach the one that, you know, needs to be preached, or one of those that, you know, that impressed upon me as something to be preached, or do I need to lift up my conviction? And I was praying back and forth on it. In fact, I kind of delayed even starting working and putting together my message because I just wasn't sure where God wanted me to go. You know, what do you want me to preach on, Lord? Really, I come to the conclusion He wanted me to preach on both. And what was kind of unique as I... Hey, guys, come on in. Hey. As I was... starting to put together, I thought, well, I'll just have two different kind of messages, Yaziel. But I realized that really they do both kind of fit together, okay? The message. And so we'll look at, first of all, our first text, and then we'll touch upon briefly the other text that kind of convicted me and touched my heart. But I think you'll see the beauty of it. God's Word is beautiful. God's Word is God's Word and His message and His, and it's all ties together. And so that's what's so beautiful about preaching for me, is that, you know, once you get into it and God fills your heart with what He wants to, I pray that He wants to be conveyed or what I see in it, and it's just, it's a blessing, and then just to be able to share it. And I don't often do a good job at that, conveying what I see or what God puts on my heart sometimes, but I pray that nothing goes from His Word, as Isaiah 55 says, without bringing back fruit. So our first text here, a couple things I want to point out. This is a prophecy that God had given Ezekiel. And it's a prophecy, as all prophecy is. To be a true prophecy, it has to be fulfilled. And as we find here, I want us to understand this prophecy was fulfilled. Okay? It was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And this is in essence, Ezekiel prophesying about the new covenant. We talk about the New Testament, right? It's a new covenant that God has given man from the Old Testament, the old covenant God had with Israel. Well, now He's giving a prophecy to Ezekiel saying, I have a new covenant, and He's speaking still to the people of Israel in this new covenant here. I want us to understand that. And Ezekiel wasn't the only one that speaks of the covenant. Jeremiah, if you recall, maybe reading back in chapter 31, it says, the Lord declares, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And again, and he goes on in Jeremiah talking about the very same thing Ezekiel, or God has given Ezekiel. Again, it's all ties together. It's all God's word, right? It's God breathed. Two different prophets, two basically the same prophecy, right? God wants to make sure the message gets out. I'm going to bring about a new thing, and it comes about through Jesus Christ Himself. And what I guess why I want us to kind of, what really struck me as I looked at this prophecy and understanding that God gave this to Ezekiel to give to the people of Israel and give them hope as they are scattered throughout Babylon and the various countries around there, that there will be a new covenant, a new day when He'll have a new thing. But what really struck me or come to mind was, you know, we often, or one of the things in the New Testament and one of the things that Jesus dealt with was with the Canaanite woman. And if you recall, in Matthew chapter 15, let me read it. Chapter 15, verses 21, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And this always troubled me. He says, but Jesus, or that He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But He answered and said, I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped Him and said, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, is it good to take the children bread and throw it to the little dogs? And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the scrap or crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you have desired. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And that's kind of point is like, why was Jesus being so rude in a sense? It almost reads to this Canaanite woman. Well, understand this Canaanite woman was a Gentile. She was not of the house of Israel. And what I want us to bring us back to here is that God prophesied to Ezekiel that the house of Israel and Jeremiah as well, that he was going to bring a Messiah or bring a new covenant through the Messiah, of course, as you understand. But and what Jesus is trying to convey is that he is going to have, or in essence, have to fulfill that prophecy. And that prophecy was to bring the new covenant into the house of Israel. And of course, we know that not only was it to the house of Israel, the new covenant was then extended to the rest of us. It says, and we find in Galatians, there is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and they're according to the promise. In other words, Jesus came first to Israel to fulfill God's prophecy, to fulfill what he gave Ezekiel, what he gave to Jeremiah, that there would be one to come and bring in a new covenant. And we'll talk more about what that covenant is. But the point being, I want us to understand, is that he did come from Israel. And of course, after his death and resurrection, then ushered in the Gentiles, the rest of us, for that same promise. And again, there's other Old Testament prophecies that also talks about that the Gentiles will also be blessed. So I wanted us to kind of, that was just really struck upon me. That scripture text of Jesus and the Canaanite woman really kind of come to mind as I was reading this and studying this. So what is this covenant? Well, God gives to, in verse 19, he says, then I will come to them, I will give them, one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. I will give them a new heart. What does that mean? You know, one heart, scripture talks about the heart, right? And it's not talking about that thing that pumps blood. It's talking about, really, heart is often our center of our human emotions, our will, our intellect. It really kind of condense it into a mind, right? It's who we are, right? Our heart or our emotions are particularly about who we are, and our understanding and intellect. It's all kind of, that's what our heart is. And so what God is promising Ezekiel, that he will give us, or those of Israel, in this time that he's talking about, a new heart. Oh, why does he need a new heart? We know 1 Samuel, by the way, says the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Right? God wants us all to have a new heart. A heart that's what? That is not a stiff-necked people like the people he was dealing with. You know, even go into the New Testament, talks about the heart, right? And that's how we are saved. It's in Romans 10:9, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has been raised, was raised him from the dead, you will be saved, right? Part of our salvation comes, it's our belief and understanding in our hearts, right? Our emotions and our intellect and understanding that, yes, Jesus did die. He did die on the cross. There's, you know, you got intellectually, we can understand that history proves that he was here on this earth, and that there's enough evidence to believe that as people saw him after his resurrection, that's what we're going to be celebrating here with Easter, and the fact that that was a key thing that stands apart from any other, quote, prophet or any other religious person at any time, nobody ever died and was resurrected except Jesus Christ. And this is proof that he was truly God. And but so what Ezekiel or God is saying through Ezekiel is that he's going to transform us from that hard-hearted person that we are, the heart that does not get God, does not understand God, does not relate to God. And he's going to transform that heart to a heart that will be able to, a heart of flesh. It's interesting that it uses the word flesh often, especially in the New Testament, the flesh is often talked about our sinful nature, right? But here, what Ezekiel or God is saying through Ezekiel is that the flesh, a heart of flesh, meaning it's soft. It's no longer a hard heart. And as we see that the imagery of a hard heart, meaning that nothing can pierce it and nothing can go through it. In other words, God can't get into that heart. Right? God can't get into our hearts or our minds and change us. But he, in this, what Jesus did when he came was that we now have the ability to have a new heart, a real heart that will be able to be able to communicate, will be able to walk with God. That separation that kept us, our sinful nature, that hard heart that we rejected God, and the people of Israel were rejecting God, and we read over and over, and as God sent prophet after prophet to warn them and tell them, you know, repent, turn back to me. But what did they do? They had a hard heart, and they said, I'm going to do what I want. I don't believe you. I don't. And what the new covenant, the new testament, or new covenant is that we received a new heart when we accept Jesus Christ, because Jesus' death on the cross opened up the fact that we can have a new heart. We can be transformed. Jesus talked about being born again. That's that transformation from the old heart to a heart that is of a flesh, as Ezekiel or God speaks Ezekiel of. In other words, we can see and understand that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that we can accept him as our Lord and Savior, and that by that method that we now, we're different, right? We're no longer that same hard-hearted person. It says, I will put a new spirit, and then on goes in and saying that I will put a new spirit within them. Again, we know that our heart speaks of who our kind of our intellect, emotions, a physical thing. We have also have a spirit, right? We have a spirit, and we know there is a Holy Spirit, right? That God has given us to be in essence to communicate to our spirit. That spirit and spirit is in scriptures often speaking of breath. Right, it's that unseen, but it's there. It's life giving. That's what will go on beyond our life on this earth. Right, our body will die and be corrupted and go away. It'll go to dust. But our spirit will live on. Right, really who we are is our spirit. And so he says, I will give them a new spirit. Right, and it can certainly we can say, well, yeah, he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, in which we know. Even Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of things that I said to you. So in that essence, the Holy Spirit will work within our spirit that we will open our eyes and see and understand the things of God. And that's what's so beautiful about the fact that we can now have an understanding of God and what he requires. Again, God had his law in the Old Testament. He had these things that he set forth, what he expected the people of Israel to be, that to be his representatives, but they became hard-hearted, and they rejected that law, in essence, God's word. And they did not understand or remember the things of God. We see how they were just they would do good for a while, and then they eventually would wander away from God. Right, that hard-hearted, they didn't have the spirit within them that they absorbed what God wanted them to have. And so it was really a stony heart. And so God has, in essence, through Jesus Christ, give the flesh or a heart that it can receive, a spirit that will communicate with God, God's spirit, and all that, in essence, is a beautiful thing that we live in a time now that we can have that by through our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Second Corinthians, Paul wrote, says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, again, what Ezekiel was prophesying from God about is that new man, that new person, that all things have gone away, that old stony heart. Through Jesus Christ, we can be a new creature, new creation in a sense, because of what Jesus Christ did by his death and his resurrection. And ultimately, it goes on in verse 20, it says that they may walk in my statutes. In other words, we have that transformed heart. We're now a new creation. Our heart's now flesh. It's flexible. It's allowed. It allows God to speak to us in our heart. And so then now God's statutes, his rules, his laws are something that we can absorb and accept. And we don't have to try to live up to those things because we'll fail, right? But we're a part of us. It's through God's spirit that's within us communicating to our spirit. And so we can then walk in righteously without certainly we'll fall and stumble. But now it's in our hearts. It's not some list of rules out here. It's in here. It's in our hearts. And so it's a new situation. And it goes on and he keeps my judgments and they do them. In other words, as a Christian, why do we do what God wants us to do? Are we? Right? Hopefully we are. Why do we do it? Because, well, we're going to go to hell if we got this list. No, we do it because we love God. We do it because we have a heart for God now. We do it because God is communicating within us. We have a soft heart. We sense his understanding of God and who he is and that he loves us and it's by his grace and mercy that we have a chance to go before him in prayer and to have a hope to go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. All this is what our walk now is different than what the people of Judah and Jerusalem were living and trying to do on their own, in essence. God made a new covenant. God made a new way. And I think we need to thank God and be appreciative of where we live and what time. We talk about the times we live is very difficult, right? And there's much sin and much, certainly we all kind of get disgusted at that. But understand, praise God that we lived in a time that Jesus Christ died for us and we can now be transformed. We're under a new covenant. We're under a new order of God in the sense that God come to us and given us a soft heart through Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful thing. And so we can now walk in obedience and out of love and not out of, well, I've got to do this. I want to do this, right? I want to do it because I love God and what Jesus Christ has done for me, right? I want to live a life that's worthy of his love. Right? I hope we all have that sense. And God gives then the promise to Ezekiel, says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're his people. You know, we hear many people say, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. No, only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior are truly God's people. Or God's children, if you would. Right? We're all created by God, but only God's children are those who believe in Jesus Christ. God has given us a promise. You know, when we take that new covenant, that new heart, of Jesus Christ, we will be His people, and He will be our God. Right? What a beautiful thing. So there's that something that God put on my heart that needs to be preached. If you want to flip over, if you got your Bibles, to chapter 14, just a couple chapters over. I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 5 real quick. It says, "Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols and their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble in iniquity." Here are these elders of Israel have come to Ezekiel, who is a priest, and seeking God's guidance, even though they really haven't ever committed or repented of what they've done. But he goes on, he says, "Should I let myself be inquired at all by them?" God is asking. "Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel set up his idols in his hearts and put before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then come to the prophet." Here's what conviction came to me. He says, speaking of these priests, he says, they set up their idols in their hearts and before him, and they set them before them. In other words, he's saying that they have these idols, and they set them up and before them, and that causes them to sin, in essence, right? And here's my conviction was, you know, we in today's world like to say, well, I don't have idols, right? I don't have no something that I got set up and worshiping in. We have idols, my friends. I have idols. And let me tell you what struck me, because I was sitting there in my armchair, the TV in front of me, this setting on my lap, and God spoke to me in a sense, saying, here you got your idols setting up in front of you. Well, they're not idols. Well, are they? How often am I doing this, checking this, and looking on Facebook, or looking at this, or emails, or what have you, right? And you look around, you go to a restaurant, how many times, and you see people, they're not sitting there talking to each other, generally speaking. They're sitting there looking at their phones, right? Or, I confess, when I get in my easy chair and put my feet up, click comes the TV, whether I'm really interested in watching anything on it or not, it's there, it's noise, it's, you know, I just sit back and let be numb-minded. And God's saying, you know, are you letting these things become your idols? Are you setting them up in front of you and then becoming your idols? Well, they're not idols. Well, how much time do I spend on this? How much time do I spend on the TV instead of this, God's Word? And so that's my conviction. But here's the good news of that, right? I live under this new covenant. I live under what Jesus Christ came and did. He died for me, and my faith in Him has saved me, and my faith in Him has given me a new heart, a heart of flesh. And I can read God's Word and see that, and then see where these are becoming idols to me too often and too easily. And I can see the fact that I was sinning, or I'm sinning by too much, or spending too much time on these things. And that's a celebration to me in the sense that I live in a time that I don't have a hard-hearted and I'm not paying attention to it. You know, it's a sense that I realize by through God's Word and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was reading that. And you can read that. It really doesn't have anything to do with a telephone or TV. It's talking about idols, and ideally I don't have any, quote, idols sitting around the house I'm worshiping. But God spoke to me through the Spirit of God, pointing out these things are becoming idols too easily. But what is just, you know, I was convicted of it, and you know, and I, wow. But as I was trying to put these two messages together, or was I going to do it or not, it really just came to me to the fact that you see, Jeff. Because of this new covenant, because of your new heart, you can see where you're failing or where you're sinning to me. And you can repent. I can repent. And that's a beautiful thing. What a glorious thing that I live for Jesus Christ and I have Him in my life. And that He can, through the Holy Spirit, can shine a light on my own heart and my own life, and I can repent and know that God is willing to forgive me, because out of His love and His concern for me, He showed this to me. And just this scripture, again, you can read it 100 times and never be convicted of it, but God spoke to me when I was reading this, and these things that, you know, He brought to my attention. My point being, this new covenant, we don't take it for granted. I understand what you have. I understand what a blessing that we have Jesus Christ in our life, that we have the Holy Spirit. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have the Holy Spirit within you and speak in your spirit. And as you read the Bible and it speaks to you, and God speaks to you through His Word, and it shows you where you're at and what you need to correct. And then you can celebrate that fact. That praise God. That He loves me enough to point out the things. Jeff, you need to get better at this. Jeff, you need to not do these things. Or Jeff, you know, those thoughts that you have or what you do, you know, or doing is not of me. And praise God, He lets me know because He loves me. I'm one of His, as our scripture text said. He's my God and I'm His child. And I pray that y'all understand that and that you appreciate that. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never entered into this new covenant, if you've never entered into this as Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I ask that you may God convict your heart about that today. You know, may you make that decision, and maybe you see what a glorious thing. Not only that you'll be saved and going to heaven, that's certainly worthy of itself, but to live a life under the new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in is such a blessing. Amen.